Our scripture reading will come from Romans chapter 10. We'll read verses 14 through the end of the chapter, which is 21. And that's on page 946 in your pew Bible. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 21. On page 946 in your pew Bible. Hear now the word of the Lord, beginning with the 14th verse of the 10th chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans. How are they to call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they've not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed they have, for their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I ask, did Israel not understand? First Moses says, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation I will make you angry. Then Isaiah is so bold to say, I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask me. But of Israel he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. Thus we've read verses 14 through 21. Of Romans chapter 10. Let us go to the Lord now in prayer. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for giving us your holy word. We thank you that in it you speak to us. We ask that you would do so this morning, that you would lift our hearts and that your name would be magnified in the proclamation of your word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul has just told us the wonderful gospel truth that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And the wonderful summary that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so now, Paul answers three questions that come to mind when we hear the wonderful truth that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And the first one is, how can we call upon the name of the Lord? Where does this faith come from that allows us to call upon the name of the Lord? Because calling upon the name of the Lord requires believing in Him. It's kind of an obvious truth that Paul points out when he says, but how are they to call on Him in whom they have not believed? People are only able to call upon the Lord Jesus as Lord if they already know of Jesus and believe that Jesus is the Christ and the Lord. If you don't believe in Jesus, then how can you call upon Him? And often in our lives, these things look simultaneously. They happen right next to each other. Our heart is changed and we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and we cry out and call upon Him. And we're saved. As Paul talks a little bit about in the previous verses, believing in Jesus is shown outwardly by calling upon Him. And believing in Him requires that you hear about Him. Someone has to tell you about Jesus in order for you to believe in Jesus. It's not something that falls out of the clear blue sky and hits us on the head. No, people hear about Jesus. They hear the truth from someone else, usually. Someone tells them to pick up the Scriptures and read, and they do. Or someone tells them the summary of the gospel and they believe. Someone shares their faith in Jesus Christ and their heart is converted. God can and does work in strange and unusual ways. So this is not the only way people find out about Jesus, but it's the normal way. It's the primary way. And we as Christians are called to be witnesses for Jesus, to go forth and to testify of what Christ has done for us. A witness is someone who tells others, who tells what he knows. And this is what we as Christians are called to do. And in this way, others can come to know him, so that they can call upon him after believing upon him. And hearing him requires someone to preach. Paul here gives us the promise that God will bless the preaching and proclamation of his word. At the end of verse 14, and how are they to hear without someone preaching? The Lord is saying here that he will use the preaching of God's word to help bring about belief and people calling upon him. And this has massive implications for the church. Preaching ought to be a central part of the service. It ought to be in the service. God doesn't promise to bless puppet shows or YouTube clips or even music here. He promises to bless preaching so that people can hear and then believe and call upon him. And yes, sometimes that seems like foolishness in a world where everything is visual. But God knew that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 16 through at least verse 5 of chapter 2, Paul talks about choosing the foolishness of preaching and using the foolish things of the world to convert hearts so that people would know that salvation is by the power of God, not through the tricks of man. He uses the foolishness of the cross and of preaching to save people's souls. And then in verse 15, and how are they to preach unless they are sent? Paul's next point is directed at the church. For preaching to occur, someone has to be sent out to do it. Called to do it. And that seems like a very minor point for you and me. It's very easy for people to call pastors. You just find them in the directory that we've got printed out, and you call them and you examine them, and then they're here. But think about it in the context of Paul, where people are being put to death for preaching God's word. For the church to get together and say, yes, we want a preacher, and yes, we want someone preaching to us, when that endangers the preacher's life and everyone who listens to the preacher's life. He's saying, you've got to gather together and hear the word and call someone to preach so that others can hear the word, so that the church can grow, even if it means persecution. And the church is responsible for sending people. Therefore, the church examines and sends out men to preach the good news of Jesus Christ, that the infallible word of God is preached by fallible men, but the church is to do its best to limit the damage that can be done by fallible men by examining and then overseeing the ministers that it sends out. And then Paul, as he loves to do, quotes the Old Testament, Isaiah 52, verse 7. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. It's a quote from Isaiah as he's transitioning in his book to begin to talk about the suffering servant. He's talking about how he will redeem his people through that servant without money in verse 5 of chapter 52. And then everyone will know the name of God. And the quote is given about the beauty of the one who brings the good news. And the good news is about God's salvation and that your God reigns. This is the message that brings the good news and is beautiful to hear. The message of Jesus Christ coming and ruling and reigning and saving. That's good news. It's not a call of you need to go and do forth this or you need to add these extra things to Christ's work. It's not a call for you to look to your own deeds. No, it's a call that the victory is already won. In the ancient world, the heralds and the messengers would run back from the battle and tell the city that was anxiously awaiting, did our army win or did they lose? Are we going to live free or are we going to be slaves to this conquering army? And the herald would run back, and when he would say, "We've won. The army is victorious. You're going to live free." It was an extreme celebration, and it was a beautiful time to hear that great news. And Paul's using that picture. Isaiah uses that picture. The messenger comes back and says, "Jesus Christ has won the victory. The power of Satan is broken. You're free. Your sins are forgiven. You're free. Death has been destroyed. You're free. Your God reigns on the throne now." How beautiful are the feet of the message of salvation of Jesus Christ. It's freeing to those who are enslaved in sin. It's beautiful to the one who faces death and damnation, to the one who truly understands his or own situation, as explained in these first three chapters of Romans. It's beautiful news. It's good news. And so he tells us, faith comes by hearing, in verse 17, and hearing through the word of Christ. This is a truth that ought not be forgotten. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. God has chosen hearing to convert His people. We know that God can and has shown great power and done great miracles, but it's not the way He's decided to work in bringing about faith in the hearts of men. He doesn't want us to walk by sight. He wants us to walk by faith. He wants us to hear and believe, hear and trust. And so He's decided to use preaching as His instrument to bring about faith in others. This is His primary way. He works through verbally giving the message from one to another. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ, which brings us to our second question. Who is it that the Christian hears? In verse 14, we're told, how are they to call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have never heard? But this is not the best translation of verse 14. Because in that second section, and how are they not to believe in Him of whom they have never heard, the preposition of is not really there. And it's really to read, how are they to believe in Him whom they have never heard? If they've never heard Jesus Christ speak, how can they believe? Who is it that they hear speaking and calling? It's Jesus Christ. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ, because He is the one that they hear. He is the one who calls to us. It's Christ who speaks through the fallible servant, that is the preacher of the word. Henry Bullinger, in the Second Helvetic Confession, chapter 1, writes this. He says, "When this word of God is now preached in the church by preachers lawfully called, we believe that the very word of God is proclaimed and received by the faithful. Now the word of God which is preached is to be regarded, not the minister that preaches. For even if he be an evil sinner, nevertheless the word of God remains good and true." It's Christ who speaks in His word. Not that the preacher is somehow transformed into a prophet, not that the preacher is somehow Christ, but that it is Christ who is calling to you in His word, with His own voice. It's the preaching of God's word, then that's the voice of God calling you. Or as the old Hank Williams song goes, can't you hear the blessed Savior calling you? The Savior Himself calls. Paul has been stressing this calling all the way back into Romans chapter 8 when he says, "And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified." That call is Christ's voice to your heart and life. And we can see it elsewhere in Scripture as well. Hebrews chapter 3, which is itself a quote of Psalm 95. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. It's not David's voice that's being spoken of. It's not the psalmist's voice. It's not the author of Hebrews' voice. Today, if you hear God's voice, if you hear His voice, don't harden your hearts. As the people who wandered in the desert did. We hear Christ in the Word proclaimed. It's God who works through preaching. You hear Christ and Christ changes your heart. The power is in the Word of God. It's His Word that created the world. It's His Word that calmed the storms. It's His Word that raised Lazarus from the dead. It was Christ's Word that opened the eyes of the blind, that made the lame walk, and many more powerful events. And it's that same Word that changes your heart of stone into a heart of flesh. Christ is heard and Christ changes the heart of stone from our souls, gives us that heart of flesh that desires after God's own law. It's Jesus Christ who is working and is speaking. Which leads into the third question in verse 18. What about those who've heard and do not believe? Have they not heard? And Paul answers from the Old Testament and says, yes, the voice has gone out to all the earth, their words to the end of the world. Most definitely, the word has been heard. Quote from the Psalms, the religious leaders of Israel surely heard the word of God, yet they rejected Jesus and had Him crucified. What about those who heard? Did they not understand in verse 19? If they heard Christ, why did they not believe? And we see the answer summarized in verse 21. But of Israel, He says, all day long I've held up my hands to a disobedient and a contrary people. Disobedience is the answer. Like wicked children, they disobey. Even after hearing their parents say, don't do it. Sometimes a child just turns and does it anyway. They've rejected the word. They've disobeyed. And Paul says this is the state of people like those religious leaders in Israel who rejected Jesus. They heard His word and then they stirred up the crowd to chant, crucify Him anyway. It's those same leaders that are putting Paul himself in jail for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. This quote from Isaiah 65 verse 2, of all day long I've held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. Paul again quoting the Old Testament to show us the answer to the questions. God is offered in the gospel. He sent preachers. He sent prophets. He gave them the word of the Lord. He gave them the law of the Lord. They heard His voice and rejected it. But we're also told in verses 18 and 19 that God had a purpose even in those things, where again Paul quotes Deuteronomy 32:21 and Isaiah 65:1. Say, I'll make you jealous of those who are not a nation, and with a foolish nation I will make you angry. Even the rejection of Christ Himself speaking is still within the control of God. He had a purpose to make them jealous, so that maybe they too would then come into the fold. That others would be able to hear the voice. That the word would go out to the foolish nation, to the ends of the world. That they would be able, who did not seek or know Him, to hear Jesus Christ speak and respond. That the Gentiles could hear the message and believe. Even that sinful disobedience was not outside the plan of God. It was not outside of His sovereign will, and indeed it helped accomplish the purpose of salvation for many. So when we read this section here of Romans chapter 10, we ought to ask ourselves first this very question: what's your reaction to God's Word? Do you receive it as the very Word of Christ? Do you receive it in humble submission and say, this is my Lord who has spoken to me? Perhaps you get angry. Perhaps you reject it and disobey. Or perhaps even worse, you don't even care. Maybe you receive His Word in such a way that we barely take notice. Oh, Christ is speaking. What's for lunch? Can you see now that our reaction to the Word of God speaks to our reaction to Jesus Himself? It's His Word. He's speaking. He's calling. Can we care not for God's Word, yet somehow still care for God? Can we reject the Word of Christ calling to us and still say, I believe in Jesus? Our reaction to Christ speaking in His Word is a reaction to Christ Himself. Let us also take notice in this, that this is why the preaching of the Word is the center of the worship service. Because it's Jesus Christ speaking. We live in a day and age where churches have shuffled off the preaching of God's Word, minimized it, are embarrassed of it, have replaced it completely with many other things, and made the service mostly about singing or dancing or other things. They want it to be entertaining, exciting, interactive, and fun, and they've missed the point of the Word. It's Christ who speaks. Why on earth would we want to shut Him up? Why would we want to hide the Word of Christ? This is the reason that the preaching of God's Word is the center focus of the worship. Because it's Christ's Word and Christ speaking to us. And we should also see in here that Christ is still speaking. He's still speaking and working through His Word. Still converting hearts and changing lives and saving souls. Just as He was when Paul was preaching and teaching. Just as He was in the book of Acts. Just as He was when Christ was preaching on the earth. Just as He was in the prophets. His Word still goes forth and it still changes hearts. And therefore, you can never give up on people who do not yet believe in Jesus Christ. Sometimes the rejection of the Word of God serves a larger ultimate purpose. And sometimes it even serves the larger purpose of that person later coming around and believing in Jesus. You can never say, well, I've shared the gospel with that person 7, 8, 9, 10 times, therefore I'm done. You can't say that person's 80, 90, 100, and therefore surely they've heard it enough and they're done. That's not the case. There are many examples in the Scriptures of people coming to belief in Jesus after having rejected the Word many times. We're told about Nebuchadnezzar when he comes to his senses and makes a profession of God, so perhaps he was saved after he spent years acting like an animal, which came after his boasting, which all followed up on him seeing the power of God up close and personal several times, like in the fiery furnace. We're told about the evil king Manasseh of the kingdom of Israel, who did such evil that the Lord said, I'm going to wipe out the kingdom. Yet at the end of his life, he heard the word of Christ, repented and believed. Surely, Paul himself fits in this category, who describes himself as a Pharisee of the Pharisees, who had studied and read and heard the word proclaimed many times. And even heard it preached from Stephen. And yet stood by and held people's cloaks so they could stone him to death. Yet then on the road to Damascus he heard the word. And Ananias being sent to him, he hears Christ and the scales fall off. And God changed him and changed his heart. So don't give up on those you know who have said no to Jesus over and over. Don't give up on praying for that family member. As long as there's breath, as long as there's life, there is hope. Because salvation is from Jesus Christ. It's God who opens the eyes. It's about His call. And we can also see in this that God works through preaching and works through the church. So invite people to church. It's not a small thing to bring someone to hear the call of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Bring them to church so that they can hear the word proclaimed, so that they might hear Christ Himself. Because faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. This is how the kingdom of heaven moves, through His word proclaimed. Let us go to Him now in prayer. Gracious Lord in heaven, we thank You for Your holy word. We thank You that You call to us. We thank You for speaking, for changing our hearts and lives. And Lord, we ask that You would continue to do so. Change the hearts of those who have yet to hear Your voice. Speak to them. Help us share Your word. Help us be witnesses of You, and to trust in Your promise and to trust in Your power, that faith does come through hearing. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen.